In the 1980s, technology in America was beginning to shift from industrial and corporate use to affordable at-home solutions. At the same time, people were fascinated with the cosmos as we were able to understand more about our universe than ever before. At the intersection of technology, entertainment, and outer space was a little gray alien that captured the world's attention. His name was simply E.T., a creation by filmmaker Steven Spielberg. While the film was busy capturing people's attention, Atari, the video game creator, wanted to capture people's dollars by creating a video game based on the film, ready in time for a Christmas release date. Though they did hit their release date, the game was rushed out the door so quickly it resulted in, well, crap. The E.T. video game was lauded as the worst video game ever made. It was so bad, in fact, the game makers attempted to cover it up. Literally. In September of the following year, dump trucks filled with cartridges of the game arrived at a landfill in the New Mexico desert and secretly buried the game in heaps of trash in hopes to wipe away our memory of the thing. Gamers only heard rumors of this secret garbage haul, making jokes about it actually ever happening. Only years later was it discovered to be true. Ironic, isn't it? An alien? In New Mexico? Cover-up? We New Mexicans certainly are good at this conspiracy game, aren't we? As this podcast comes full circle, I couldn't help but think about this story. It is a story about a debacle, followed by a cover-up, then disappointment as the truth is revealed, and now lives on as a legend in its own right. I suppose I hope the same can be said of this story, and more importantly, the Roswell story. The Roswell story, and now this show, has been talked about as things of myth and conspiracy. The line between truth and lies has been blurred and crossed so much, it's hard to extract the real story from it all. But here is my final attempt. I will wrap things up by laying out the story as I've come to understand it after weeding out the lies that plagued John's story all along. And in the process, I will have to admit to my own lie. This story will leave us back where we started in New Mexico, but hopefully won't leave us unchanged. This is Crashed in Roswell, Survivors in a Misunderstood City. Yes, I lied. Not everyone in this series is who they appear to be, but the one person I've tried to portray honestly and openly is myself. Everything you've heard about me is true. My family, my jewelry business, the stories of my grandfather and extended family, those are all true, at least as far as I know. In life, you are only as strong as your word and reputation. My dad taught me that early on when I came into the family business. When dealing in jewelry, with people's most precious keepsakes, your reputation and integrity matters. As a writer and a communicator, honesty and integrity is just as important. That's why I'm coming clean today about this podcast and about Roswell. Let's start with Roswell. Here is what we know for certain after hours upon hours of research, information gathering, and interviews. Something crashed outside of Roswell in 1947. It was discovered by locals. Days later, the U.S. government descended upon the crash site, cleaned up the debris, and used Roswell as a base of operations for this project. The government lied about what the debris was. Even after the lie was exposed, the government never clarified what it was that crashed in the desert, and still hasn't. That is it. Any talk of UFOs or aliens cannot be validated. Nobody saw the thing that crashed when it was in the sky. We don't even know if it was in the sky before it crashed. Nobody who claimed to see strange bodies has had their stories independently corroborated and verified yet with physical evidence. Reports about such things in Roswell are inconsistent. Since the incident in 1947, UFO sightings in Roswell are rare at best. That's everything we know about Roswell. What strikes me is how little there actually is to the story. It can be condensed into a couple of vague paragraphs, and yet we have an entire museum, culture, and image built upon something much bigger. I'm convinced that what attracts people to Roswell isn't what we know about the incident. It's what we don't know about a lot of things. People want to believe in something that has only slivers of evidence, yet live in such a way as if it was true. We want there to be something bigger than us out there. Anyone who leaves the door open for alien life on another planet wants to believe in something bigger than our world. We just don't know for certain. And there is a word for that kind of belief. It's called faith. Uh-oh, there's that word again. A word I got in trouble for back in season one. The critique of that season was that I was trying to shoehorn in an agenda, social, religious, or otherwise. Now here we are back at religion, and you may be bracing for heavy-handedness. If so, please, hang on and trust me. There's a reason for this, and yes, it has everything to do with Roswell. I want to introduce you to David Langford. He has helped collaborate on this show, particularly in season one. David holds a master's in communication and a PhD in therapy, and has been a college professor for a number of years. He is an intellectual guy, which may surprise you to learn that he is also a pastor of a church. I couldn't think of a better person to explain this link between our story, UFOs, and the human need for faith. David, do you think it is possible for people to live without faith? What is the nature of faith in the human condition, and what role does faith play in humanity?
Good question. I think the only person who could live without faith is a person who basically knows everything for sure. You know, but then you'd have to ask the question, you know, how do we know what we know? And the whole question of how do you know things? But I really think for us as humans, faith is our only option, really. I like what C.S. Lewis once said, you can't know, you can only believe. Or not. And so the question is not faith or no faith. I think it's what kind of faith do you have? Sometimes people think faith is, you know, never having any doubts. I don't believe that. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It's the ability to believe even in the presence of doubt. And so it's not that people who have faith don't have any doubts. They do. But those who live by faith find they doubt their doubts more than they doubt their beliefs, I guess.
Now, short answers here. Do you have faith that what you believe about God is true?
Yes, but I also realize that I'm not God, and so my knowledge, my understanding of God obviously is limited and has to grow, and it must always be growing, and in that sense, it'll never be complete, so what I believe about God is an ongoing experience of growth.
Do you have any physical evidence to confirm God's existence?
If by physical evidence you mean scientifically verifiable evidence, no.
So then why believe it at all? What does it serve you to believe in something like that you can't confirm?
Well, for me, at least, it just makes more sense to believe in a world that was created by a loving, good, merciful God than to believe in a world that is here by chance, no meaning, no purpose, no reason to exist.
Let's pause there. Do you, the listener, have faith that there is life outside of Earth and that something greater than our current understanding crashed in the desert in Roswell? If yes, then do you have any physical evidence to confirm the aliens' existence? If no, then why do you believe at all? You see, the question of faith has to do with religion and extraterrestrial life. In fact, the question of faith is a human question. Every human on Earth believes in something bigger than themselves based on little evidence. It may be a religious belief, a political one, a moral one, maybe even a desperate belief. To argue otherwise is to ignore the truth about ourselves. Humans, we need faith as much as we need air. Without it, hope is a lost cause. Underdog stories can't be written. The Roswell lore and excitement cannot exist. Now that may be a feel-good idea, that faith is a hopeful thing. It's a feel-good idea until faith is challenged.
Now, David, you believe in God. You believe in the hope of the Bible, the Christian Bible. What would it do to you if tomorrow we discovered there was a lie in the Bible? And it wasn't a big one. It was a small one. Maybe that instead of Jesus having like 12 disciples, let's say he only had 11. And we had hard evidence to prove it, no dispute. And there's a crack in the seams of this thing that you believe at the Bible itself. What would you do with that?
You see, one reason I believe the Bible is because of the trustworthiness of the authors, particularly those 12 apostles, and they were willing to die rather than to recant their testimony. That's impressive to me. So if for some reason I was convinced that one or more of them was actually a conscientious liar, that would be a problem. But if you mean not so much a lie, but maybe a mistake, mistake in the copying, or perhaps some mistake due to the lack of understanding on some matter that you couldn't seriously expect people of that time to understand. Those kinds of mistakes or misstatements, whatever, they would be less problematic for me. Faith by its very nature has to grow in us as we grow in understanding. And as long as I can trust the testimony of those witnesses, even if in making their testimony they make a minor mistake, I don't think undermines the truth of the message of that story.
If the lies you heard this season painted John, Denise, Hank, myself, or anyone else as malicious liars looking to get your attention or even get in your wallet, that would make this a problematic story, wouldn't it? Much as it would if David discovered the disciples of Jesus were outright liars. But what if those untruths were not quite malicious in nature? What if, like David mentioned, they were minor mistakes or misinterpretations? Then the story doesn't die. It shifts perspective slightly, but it doesn't all fall apart. Once you know that elements of the Roswell lore have been misleading, misremembered, or totally fraudulent, you can't unknow that information, and it seems that you'll have one of two choices to make. Either you can accept the reality that things aren't what they appear, or deny reality to believe in something made up. How could you keep believing in something that seems to be so flawed? But let me pose a third option, though. What if instead of tossing out all our hope and faith in something at the first sign of a crack, we investigate the crack and learn about a new layer of truth? For example, one crack in the Roswell story are the eyewitness accounts of the incident early on. The government said one thing and was found to be in a bold-faced lie. The original eyewitnesses described the scene and the metal they found, and they cited how strange it all was. However, their stories cannot be substantiated with physical evidence, such as pictures or proof of the metal. Instead of saying all these people must be crazy, when we investigate the cracks in their story, we notice something interesting. They are consistent with the theory that some foreign technology was involved and that the government had enough awareness of the technology to not want it out in the open. There isn't nothing to their accounts. There's still something there. And that is how faith works. We believe, we get challenged, we learn and evolve, and our faith changes, or grows, as it were. So why all this talk about faith? Because I'm about to recap John's story just as I have Roswell's story, but this time, I'm about to expose a crack in the seams you probably never saw before. And when I do, I hope you don't go running. I hope you start prodding for yourself. Believe, challenge, evolve. My thanks to our Season 3 sponsors, the City of Roswell. The City of Roswell wants you to know that there is so much happening here in Roswell that you may not even be aware of. Like, for example, did you know that we are one of the most affordable getaway destinations in the Southwest for families and for those looking to get away into the desert? From our walking trails to Bottomless Lake State Park to Bitter Lakes State Refuge, we're a hop, skip, and a jump away from the mountains of Ruidoso, and so much more. Outdoor activities abound here in Roswell. But we also have the iconic UFO Museum, several incredible art museums, a planetarium, and so much more for families to do and see. Or, for those who are curious into the Roswell incident, there is some serious areas of research and fascinating stories for you to discover while you're here.
A great place to start is by visiting croswell.com. That's croswell.com. And there you'll find a whole list of places for you to play, stay, shop, eat, and a list of events happening throughout our community all year long. From the UFO Festival to our Dragonfly Festival and so much more. That's croswell.com. I don't want to oversimplify a man's life or personal story. It seems a bit wrong, even a bit patronizing. But for the purposes of this series, let me do my best to honorably sum up what we know about John's story. John and his family, mother and brother Hank, lived near the base during the 1947 UFO incident. The father John knew died before the incident. Someone may have confronted John's mother in a heated argument shortly after the crash. His mother felt a connection to the incident close enough to research and pursue it years later. It affected John enough to feel connected with the incident in the same way. John and his brother Hank served in the military, separate branches. This too deeply affected their lives. Their military service may have contributed to Hank's suicide. John left behind few worldly possessions, little evidence to support a direct link to the UFO crash, but left behind a heck of a story. Now for the cracks, and there are many. The medal John gave me turned out to be silver. No more mystery could be devised from it or the etchings in the item. John and Hank's remaining family concealed information about their past, which may or may not have had an influence on their angle of the Roswell incident story. For example, it was speculated that John's real father could have been an influential leader at the base at the time of the crash. This has yet to be confirmed. About that man, John's potentially real father at the base. We don't know who he is precisely, and therefore cannot pinpoint how he might or might not be involved in the story John told us. There is a theory that he could be the man who came to their house and threatened he and his mother after the crash. Perhaps he told John's mother something she shouldn't know, and he threatened them to keep them silent. He could also have nothing to do with that part of the story. We just don't know. Unreliable witnesses, lack of hard evidence, speculative conclusions, and yet, there is something in John's story that is compelling. There is something there that is captivating. It has captured thousands of you from around the world, as it has me. This story has had ups and downs. It also has some serious cracks in the seams, particularly with John and Denise. We've determined that they each delivered half-truths or downright lies at some point. So, is there anything left to believe in? I hope so. I hope this ride has given you pause to wonder, what if even half of what John said was true? What does this story become? I think it, like Roswell, becomes less about aliens and UFOs and more about wonder, cover-ups, and the nature of truth. I hope it causes us to wonder what we will do with the truth, even if it is difficult to believe in. And I hope it causes us to consider our neighbor and their unbelievable stories as being important, valid, and valued. But I have to come clean. I've been concealing the truth about this series since the very beginning. Someone isn't who they claimed to be. When I'm asked about this show and what happened next, and get challenged on the cracks in the story, I say, listen to the whole show, to the end. It's all there. By to the end, I meant it literally. At the end of every show, I thank a number of people who have helped me, mostly credited producers and interviewees. David Langford, Scott Hall, Dennis Balthaser, Ryan Bishop. They are all indeed real people, except for Ryan. Ryan Bishop is an alias, a made-up name for someone whose identity I chose to conceal. This person was integral to the podcast. Without this person, I never would have stumbled into John, I never would have produced a single episode, and I wouldn't have reached your ears with any of this. But this person isn't who you think they are. Ryan Bishop was a name this person and I chose deliberately. Both the name Ryan and Bishop describes roles this person had in my life, so choosing the name was easy. Throughout the series, this person provided me with key bits of information I needed to fill in the gaps of John's story, of Hank, and of Roswell.
Why am I choosing to tell you this now? Because Ryan and I believe and agree that you should know what we've done. It's about integrity. When I say I told you the truth about me, I meant it. And if I want to be known as an honest man, and if I want this show to stand as a testament to the nature of truth, then I must tell you the truth. Now what you do with it is up to you. I will not tell you Ryan Bishop's true identity. Perhaps investigative souls out there will figure it out. Ryan accepts that. Perhaps you are content not knowing Ryan's identity. That's okay too. In the end, what do you come away with? Did this story go round in circles only to go nowhere? Or did the journey leave you with a greater sense of mystery and wonder? If so, believe in something greater. Challenge the belief. Evolve with it.
David, what would you say to someone who is struggling to believe in faith or comes into a crisis when something that they've believed in for so long, maybe even their entire lives, seems to show cracks or be different than what they first thought it was?
You know, maybe what I would say to them is, welcome to the club. I know I've gone through that experience. I know many people who have. And I know for me, it was very unsettling and bothersome. I wasn't sure I could hang on to anything when I began to doubt some things that I thought I had always believed. And when I felt like I couldn't believe what I had believed before, the thing that bothered me the most wasn't losing the belief, but losing the community that I had around me, because so much of my community shares my beliefs. But as it turned out, that community was the biggest help to me. I shared my doubts, I shared my struggle with people. And what I found out was that I wasn't the only one, that other people who I loved, respected, trusted, had been there, done that. And they gave me time, they gave me grace, they helped me to understand what I was going through. And there'll be some things you may lose. There are some things you'll believe that you believed all your life that you think, you know, I'm not sure I can believe that anymore. And there are other things you'll come back to with a deeper appreciation than you've ever had. But I think the most important thing is having a community that gives you space to grow and to struggle. And you're not going to be tomorrow where you are today. That's just the nature of being human. It's the nature of faith. It's the nature of growth.
There is hope in community, in those we live life alongside. Food for thought. For me, that community was John for a time. It is also the city of Roswell, home to my family, my friends, and the community that keeps each other propped up in good times and in bad. Even if all this adventure got us no closer to UFOs and to aliens, it got me closer to the city I love. Perhaps it has done the same for you. Thank you to all of those who have worked so hard on this show over the past few years, and to my closest community, David Langford, Dennis Balthaser, Boyd Barrett, Scott Hall, and of course, Ryan Bishop. My thanks to Brian Hunley for writing our theme song. My thanks to every one of you who have listened from all over the world. If you're ever in Roswell, feel free to tip your hat in my direction. The UFO Center is just a stone's throw outside my jewelry store's front door. This is the end of the road for John's story. For Ethan's request, I will put to rest my investigation and let their family story be just that, their family story. And you never know, perhaps you'll hear my voice in the future on another podcast investigating another inspiring story. You can also check out more by going to crashedinroswell.com for behind-the-scenes content, crashed merchandise, and much, much more. You can also check out some of my other work at kylerbullock.com.